In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Friday, the 21st of April. Glad, as always, to have you along, everybody. All right, so if next week with Congress back in town is a big get-things-done week for the White House, this week was the do-what-we-can-by-ourselves week. Executive orders have been the order of the day. That and oh so much more in the next 5 minutes of live radio, wrapping up the 5 days gone by. David Gura is here. He's at Bloomberg. Rachel Abrams is at the New York Times. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Kai.
Hey there.
Rachel, let me start with you. And without getting too much into the prognostication game, can we just look at next week for a minute? It seems ambitious, shall we say.
It does seem ambitious. I think what we're really seeing is that there's so much pressure on the Trump administration to get something done within the first 100 days. We're coming up on that mark. They obviously had a very high profile failure with the health care proposal. And so now we're looking at things like tax reform, maybe even a revived health care proposal. And there's just a lot of pressure on them to try to push something through by this 100-day deadline. And it's just seeming more and more like that's a bit too ambitious.
David, self-imposed pressure. I mean, the president himself has said, until he said today that it's really silly and it doesn't matter, the president himself said, we're going to get all this done in the first 100 days. Here's a zillion things
we're
going to get done.
He tweeted that out. He has a very ambitious foreign policy plan, a very ambitious domestic plan as well. He went over and visited the neighbor today. He went over to the Treasury Department and, as you said, signed a few executive actions, including a couple on financial reform and one on taxes. As well, I think he's wrestling with the fact that it is very difficult to work with this Congress. I think a lot of people thought after he was elected, after Republicans were elected to majorities in the House and the Senate, it would be easier. Turns out that's not the case. And so here we have whisperings of maybe some more movement on health care next week. The White House says by Wednesday of next week, we will get the White House plan on tax reform. Finally, we'll get some clarity on what that is. Then you have lawmakers on Capitol Hill who say they've seen nothing from the White House yet, so it seems unlikely that by the end of the week we'll get much more traction on those two issues.
All right, so those executive orders in just a second, but let me just, Rachel, spitball it for me here. Shutdown or no shutdown on Friday when the money runs out?
I think it doesn't seem to look very good at the moment, but I, you know, I'm crossing my fingers.
David, what do you think? I can't believe they're going to go to the mat and have a shutdown again.
I do not think that there will be a shutdown. I think it'll go to the wire. I think we'll get another one of these short-term spending bills, which will be no victory for either side. But I cannot imagine that Republicans are going to bring that upon themselves.
Yeah. Okay. So, Rachel, on these executive orders, there was Buy American, Hire American. There was the change of the procedures for H-1Bs, suspending parts of Dodd-Frank. We've got Adrian Hill coming up with a spot on that in about 2-3 minutes. So much of what the president is doing here, though, isn't actually doing anything. He's ordering reviews and studies of these policies, right?
Right. I mean, the one that I was paying a lot of attention to that I thought was really interesting was basically him instructing Steven Mnuchin to kind of review Dodd-Frank and sort of whether or not Dodd-Frank had sort of gone too far. Because obviously, this is an administration that's really receptive to business leaders. It's really is receptive to Wall Street, that has been saying for a long time now that Dodd-Frank restricts their ability to lend money, to therefore facilitate the American economy. And so I think Trump is under a lot of pressure to show he's doing something about it, he's thinking about it. But just instructing Steven Mnuchin to review stuff, in order to overhaul Dodd-Frank, it would take so much. It takes an act of Congress. So it's a baby step, basically.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, though, David, is that Jeb Hensarling, the chairman of the relevant committee in the House, is all hot and bothered to get rid of Dodd-Frank. So there is some synergy there. I just wonder if the House, the White House and Congress can get together.
Yeah, it's another example of these sort of parallel tracks. So he released his version of a bill that would change or repeal Dodd-Frank, something Choice Act. And there you have Congress trying to work to do something separate from the White House. But Rachel brings up a very good point, that being that, you know, Steven Mnuchin can review what's going on. He's also the leader of this FSOC, this Financial Stability Oversight Council, that sort of oversees a lot of financial reform issues. And in that capacity, he has some determinism to pick sort of what it does and what might be a systemically important financial institution too big to fail. But like Rachel said, you know, we're retreading a lot of ground here. And what these executive orders do is sort of confirm basically on paper things that the president has said when he was a candidate and during the sort of intervening days, these early days of the administration.
Right.
I agree with her. Not a whole lot happening here thus far.
A lot of that sound and fury thing going on. David Gura is at Bloomberg. Rachel Abrams is at the New York Times. They were both in our studios in New York. Thanks, you two.
Thanks, Kai.
Thank you.